Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Callum Borchers. If you're 50 years old or older, you might be among the many people told by doctors to get the new shingles vaccine. It's two shots, taken within a six-month period. But many people are having trouble finding Shingrix. Pharmacies in Boston and beyond are struggling to keep it in stock. WBUR's Miriam Wasser brings us this report.
Shingles is the viral infection no one wants to get. It's a flare-up of the chickenpox virus that's been laying latent in most of our bodies since childhood. It can cause blistering rashes, severe pain, and possibly nerve damage or blindness. Without the vaccine, one in three Americans gets shingles at some point in their life. The older and sicker you are, the more likely you are to get it. So when Judy Stroll's doctor told her to get the new Shingrix vaccine, she went to her local CVS in Newton, expecting a quick in-and-out procedure, like for a flu shot.
First time I went, and they said, we don't have any. Second time, they said, we don't have any. And then I started calling. But then the word was out. There's no Shingrix. We tried Walgreens. We tried every pharmacy. They're out. I didn't know anyone who got it.
Having watched her aunt almost go blind from shingles, Stroll was determined to get Shingrix. It took her 5 weeks to find a pharmacy with the vaccine in stock.
When they developed this vaccine and then produced it, had no idea that the public would be so anxious to have this.
That's Dr. Richard Dupuy, chief of geriatrics at Tufts Medical Center. He attributes the spike in demand to three things: how well the drug works, advertising, and age.
It's now approved for age 50 and up, whereas the original vaccine was for 60 and up.
The vaccine is made by GlaxoSmithKline. In an emailed statement, a spokesman for the company also says unprecedented demand is causing the shortage. One person worried about the situation is Somerville Mayor Joe Curtatone. The 52-year-old was hospitalized with shingles over Thanksgiving.
Anyone I've come in contact, they're probably sick of hearing him. I'm saying, I don't care how old you are, go get the vaccine. And I've had several people who've gone and tried to do it, and he told me that they were told, it's not available yet. Come back in January. We don't have it.
Okay, so you haven't found it. How much do you really need to worry? Well, if you're young and healthy, your chances of getting shingles are pretty low. About 1 million Americans get sick from it each year. Here's Dr. Richard Dupuy from Tufts Medical.
I think one way to look at it is this. Are we seeing more shingles today than we saw 10 years ago? I don't think so. And so if that's the case, then I don't think we should be panicking about this.
Dupuy says more of the drug is already on the way to the market.
The smartest thing to do is just get yourself on the waiting list. This is not going to last forever. And in several more months, there'll be plenty available.
Shingrix takes about 6 to 9 months to make, and GlaxoSmithKline has been ramping up production since May. Still, the company's not giving a timeline for when supply will meet demand, though the CDC predicts the shortage will continue throughout 2019. Doctors say that if you can't find Shingrix, it might be worth getting the older shingles vaccine, Zostavax. It's less effective, but still offers some protection.
That was WBUR's Miriam Wasser. And with us to talk a little bit more about the shingles vaccine shortage is Common Health Editor Carrie Goldberg. Welcome back, Carrie.
Thank you, Cal.
So you put up this digital version of the piece by Miriam Wasser on Friday. And what kind of response have you seen since then?
Well, it's been a surprisingly mixed response. A lot of people having trouble finding Shingrix, and a lot of people surprised that other people are having trouble finding it. And quite a few people like Mayor Curtatone who've had shingles, and they say quite emphatically, get the vaccine.
So are there any additional tips then on how to cope if you are one of those people who is having a hard time finding it?
Well, I think the main advice remains, as you heard Dr. Dupuy say, don't panic. Of course, if your doctor recommends the vaccine, which is happening a lot, you would like to cross it off your to-do list right away. But it's not like a flu vaccine. It's not like shingles is going around and you're likely to catch it soon. And you can try to be smart about navigating the system. Here's a bit more from Judy Stroll, who was featured in the story.
The reason I ended up finding it was that I have a good friend who decided that the way to research this was to find an area where there were young kids, mostly students. So she called around using those demographics and actually found it at a Walgreens in Alston.
It's kind of brilliant, right? If you're young, you don't need the vaccine. But so as Judy Stroll showed, you can get vaccinated with a little help from your friends.
Yeah, and those college students who were closer to the chickenpox age than the shingles age, right? So if the shingles vaccine is one of your get healthy strategies, you might have to wait until 2019 to get it from the sound
of it.
So put it on your New Year's resolutions.
Right.
And while we're on the subject and while you're here, Carrie, it is that season when we're thinking a lot about how to improve our health for the next year. One of the popular goals, of course, is always to get healthier, to lose weight. So what else should we be thinking about?
Well, if your resolution is going to be to eat better, which for many of us it should be, one thing I would note is that, you know, the more we understand about why we need to do something, the likelier we are to do it. And so there's some really interesting research just out about the Mediterranean diet.
And just to jog folks' memories, that's eating more like the Greeks and Italians and other Mediterranean cultures. So we're talking about lots of fruits and vegetables, olive oil, legumes, nuts, fish, whole grains, go light on the meat and those simple sugars, Carrie.
Exactly. And we should point out that, you know, it is tough to test diets, so you want to take any research with a bit of grain of salt.
But not too much salt.
Not too much salt. In fact, very little salt. And there is quite a bit of data suggesting that the Mediterranean diet really is good for your health. In particular, there have been major studies that came out in France and Spain showing that it correlates particularly with healthier hearts. So now we've got a really major long-term study in American women, actually, about 26,000 of us. And here's the study's senior author, Dr. Samia Mora, who is a cardiologist at Brigham and Women's Hospital.
Well, we found that women who were more closely following a Mediterranean-type dietary pattern were indeed at reduced risk for cardiovascular events over a long period of time, about 12 years. They had about 25% reduction in heart attack and stroke and vascular death.
So 25%. I actually would have thought it would be more, Cal, but Dr. Mora points out that that's about the same degree of benefit for prevention that we see with the statin drugs that are now so widely prescribed. And it's even more than we see for aspirin.
And those drugs, of course, are rigorously studied before they even get FDA approval. So we have some understanding of how they work. But what's the mechanism with the Mediterranean diet? How does that work?
So that was the question for this new research. And it involved measuring a bunch of different biological effects of the diet in our bodies. And the bottom line isn't really a simple bottom line. Like the diet involves a variety of foods, and it seems like it has a variety of effects on us. There was clearly a large effect on inflammation. And as you probably know, if you have more inflammation at work in your body, that raises your risk of heart attack and stroke. So that's one pathway. But Dr. Mora says there were several more.
We also found that improvements in insulin resistance and the way our body metabolizes the glucose, the sugars that we eat, that was really improved as well. And even the weight, you know, people think, oh, if I follow a Mediterranean diet, will my weight increase? In fact, the body mass index was lower, and that's actually what's also been found in some other studies.
And they found that the Mediterranean diet also tended to lower blood pressure. It was good for cholesterol. So there's this whole bouquet of benefits. And Dr. Mora points out that previous research has shown that even if you don't go whole hog Mediterranean, so to speak, like even if you just shift your diet somewhat toward a more Mediterranean style, you can still see some level of these benefits.
But so we don't. Do we know which elements are the most important? Because, you know, some, as you know, some other physicians have been critical of this study. And of course, as you said earlier, you know, it's hard to know exactly which factors are contributing most to the health benefits. So can we isolate, hey, if you can only do a couple of things, here's what to really target?
So we cannot, in fact. And basically, at this point, the takeaway from this study is kind of it's all good. The fruits and vegetables and nuts and legumes and my personal favorite, the extra virgin olive oil. Mm. You know, we can feel some leeway to focus on the elements that work best for us, because we really don't know which are the most important elements, Dr. Mora says.
I think my favorite would be the nuts. I bring the cashews or almonds to work every day, Carrie, roasted and unsalted. So I'm paying attention.
You are, so go with that. Go with the nuts. And, you know, also, even with all these effects that have already been figured out, there's still a whole lot more to be learned about what's going on with this diet biologically. The researchers couldn't measure everything, like, for example, what to look at to figure out how the diet helps prevent heart arrhythmia. And in fact, the paper on this study, it's out in the journal JAMA Network Open, ends with the note that even though we know a lot of the ways that the Mediterranean diet is healthy, so again, inflammation, glucose metabolism, weight, blood pressure, cholesterol, there's still a sizable proportion of how the diet reduces risk that, quote, remains unexplained.
Yeah, well, while we're figuring it out, I'll just eat more hummus and tomatoes for the holidays.
You do care. That. Hummus and tomatoes. And also the other main message is try to be in it for the long haul, Dr. Mora says.
I think the take-home point is that even small changes in these things, which may be not clinically even noticeable too much from day to day or from year to year, can have cumulatively, in a multifactorial fashion, they really contribute to the benefit and over long term, which is great. You know, so even if I don't lose weight today or tomorrow with, you know, having a more Mediterranean-type diet, it is still benefiting me.
So she's kind of saying, keep the faith, keep the Mediterranean diet faith, even if you don't see results right away.
This isn't the lose 10 inches in 10 days type of thing.
Not that. Never that.
Oh, well. That's Kerry Goldberg, editor of WBUR's Common Health. You can find a link to Common Health's report on this study on our website, radioboston.org. Kerry, thanks as always.
You're welcome, Callum.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Callum Borchers. This is Radio Boston.